We're so very glad to have all of our guests.
Hallelujah. Somebody just say hallelujah. Tell your neighbor you're very special. You're awesome. You're wonderful. You're marvelous. You're beautiful. And man, Sister Barbara blessed me. I did not know that out of that little bottle such big poison can come. That was awesome. When you come to South Africa, bring the song. I thought on the beginning when you start, where are we going? But when you hit that other note, that's awesome. I love country, and if I would stay in this area, this will be my church. They sing new songs, old songs, all the songs, and there's some powerful old songs that we sometimes miss. And I'm an old-timer, got saved in the late 60s, so that's 41 years ago. And I've just entered the 1st of December, my 37th year of ministry. So I've been a long way, I've seen a lot. This is a journey, and I really want us to give the musicians and the singers a big God bless you. This was awesome worship. Hallelujah. And that's a powerful key, what God's going to do in the time that we're living. Thank you, Pastor Sonny and Vicky and the family for having me here. I'm part of the family as the furniture, and I'm just here this morning to be a blessing. Greetings from South Africa. And we need all your prayers we can get. But I'm going to get in the Word. We can show the DVD later on. Will that be fine? I want to get in the Word this morning because my mission in life is to activate people to go into another dimension of the greatness God has called them. And I'm just glad Reverend Frank and them is here. They returned, and Anna and Justin and Gary and them. Bless you all. And Irma, praise the Lord, bless you, and just all everybody. That's wonderful. My assignment is, because I believe that the only vehicle that God is using in the time that we are living is the local church. And how I get that, Christ the head, the church the body. Now, a lot of people are connected to the head, but not to the body. They're incomplete. Imagine when they say, Gustav is in town, I saw his head running around here. And what a disastrous event that will be. The lady sitting there, Miss Leopard, you with the leopard thingy on. Yes, lovey. The hand of God is upon you. God is going to move in a mighty way. Greater than what you expect God to move, because you need a breakthrough and a turnaround situation in your life. And the Lord said, no more delays, it's going to happen. The very thing you desire, start thanking God, because help and the answer is here this morning in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Now, I want to take you to 1 Samuel chapter 10, and thank you for the sound people. My son-in-law is a sound man, and he say, I am a nightmare for any sound person on the face of the earth. I can preach a battery flat out of a microphone. And now I'm not yelling because it's my nature. I want to get something through that you will understand, and something that you can remind. Of what, whenever you think about your life journey and what God is doing right now on the face of the earth. Now, I want to take you to 1 Samuel chapter 10, because what I'm going to do this morning, I'm going to deliver some principles and some patterns that's going to help you. The word principle comes from the word prince. Also, the word police comes from that word. And the principle is given to keep us in line for the assignment that we need for what God's going to do on the face of the earth. That's why the Bible is a book of principles. And then there is patterns. Now, for every pattern, we need a designer. And a designer designs something, because for that design to happen, there needs to be a design maker. Now, everybody in this room, You can cut this if that's bothering you, cut it off. I'm okay. Hallelujah. What happens is that every design has got a designer, and for every designer, he makes a pattern. And a pattern is something that you can use over and over and over. In other words, the Word of God is given as a principle, and there's patterns in the Bible that we can follow so that we can have maximum results of what God's going to do. The thing in people's life is sometimes we feel we are settled in. And that's the moment when God comes as a mother eagle and he starts waving his wings in that nest so that that nest can get uncomfortable. Because the whole idea of God is when you think you've made it, you've arrived, then God said, no, I've got something higher. Somebody say higher. Say we're going higher. Say there's something better. Hallelujah. In other words, God's going to take you higher and into something better than what you are present with, busy with right now. I want you to start prophesying by faith to somebody. Turn to somebody and say, I am better than this. Hallelujah. You've just released a spiritual law because the power of life and death is in your tongue. And that's why I want to share with you, because it's understandable that when God is busy, you will always go through something, and it's a bush burning. God's trying to get your attention. The enemy will try you to tell you that it's a done deal. Nothing is going to happen. But I'm here to tell you breakthrough is coming. Somebody say breakthrough. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Pastor Sonny, they can cut the monitor. I'll be okay. Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm sorry. Hallelujah. I've never seen a microphone saved. 1 Samuel chapter 10. Then Samuel took the vial of oil and poured it on Saul's head and kissed him and said, "Has not the Lord anointed you to be prince over his heritage Israel? When you have left me today, you will meet two men." Somebody say two men. "By Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin." Somebody say Benjamin. "And they will say to you, 'The donkeys you sought are found, and your father has quit caring about them and is anxious for you, asking, what shall I do about my son?' Then you will go, my goodness, I'm from there, and you will come to the oak of Tabor, and three men." Somebody say three men quickly. "Three men going up to God at Bethel will meet you there, and one will carry three kids, another carrying three loaves of bread, and another carrying a skin bottle of wine. They will greet you and give you two loaves of bread, which you shall accept from their hand. And after that, you will come to the hill of God, where the garrison of the Philistines is. And when you come to the city, you will meet a company of prophets coming down from the high place with harp, tambourine, flute, lyre before them and prophesying." Somebody say prophesying. "Then the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily." Somebody say mightily. "And you will show yourself to be a prophet with them, and you will be turned into another man." Hallelujah. Can we pray? Father, we say thank you for the word this morning. We say thank you that the worship and everything that happened prepared the way for the word to be delivered. And we are not here today because of good stuff. We are here because a God ordained time and place to change destiny and direction for every person in the house. Right now, I pray that this word will hit the target this morning. That your word is alive and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword will change the atmosphere. And we say thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Somebody say amen. Now this morning, I'm going to take you on a journey, and I'm going to take you to the place where I'm going to speak on your tipping point. Now, I want you to live with me, preach with me, and do something, because something is going to happen in your spirit so that you can go to that higher dimension of the greatness of God. Now, here we've got a story, an awesome story about a man who was anointed with oil, and because Israel desire a king. And the Bible says that Samuel took the vial, not a horn. He took a vial and anointed Saul. And then he gave Saul certain instructions to happen. What Saul did not know, he was at a t- tipping point in his life so that he can have a turnaround going higher and have a breakthrough experience. Come on, somebody, say this is a breakthrough season. Breakthrough comes through breakthrough praise, breakthrough prayer, breakthrough giving, and breakthrough evangelism. Hallelujah. Is there anybody ready for a breakthrough this morning? Now, what I'm speaking is prophetically with this church this morning, because God's got an awesome plan. My goodness. And what's happening here? Then Samuel poured out the oil and he told Saul, he says, you will go down to the grave, my goodness, of Rachel. The reason that we need to go via the grave of Rachel is many times in life we gather dead bones and dead sticks that keeps us away of breaking out and breaking forth and have that dimension that we desire. So the thing that we need, because we start tripping over dead bones, and God wants to take you on the journey to bury every dead bone at the tomb of Rachel so that you can go further, because there will be two men waiting for you at the tomb of Rachel to give you a certain instruction. Somebody say, instruction is coming. Help me, somebody. And the instruction was, he says, my goodness, because the grave of Rachel is at the area of Benjamin. Now Benjamin, his name was not always Benjamin. Before, his name was Benoni, the son of my sorrow. When his mother gave birth to him, she called him Benoni because she received him in sorrow and she died. But his father decided, Jacob, I will not give him that name, the son of my sorrow. I will change his name to the son of my right hand, namely Benjamin. Is there any Benjamins in the house this morning? Because God is about to change your thing around. Come on, people. You don't need to stay in the sorrow. You don't need to stay on the level where you are, because God's got a journey for you. Hallelujah. If you can bury every dead bone, every bad experience, every hurt, every situation that happened, every unforgiveness, every bitterness. Now, I speak out of a point, my goodness, I came along the journey. I know what it is to be bitter. I know what it is to have unforgiveness. Come on, somebody help me. Now, unforgiveness and bitterness is like this. You drink the poison and you expect somebody else to die. But you see, that's why we need to bury those things so that we can go further, because the two men will have a message for you, and the message is the donkeys that you were looking for has been found, hallelujah, and your father is no longer concerned about the donkeys. He's concerned about you. Somebody say, my goodness, my life is bigger and greater and my journey than busy with donkey work. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You see, the donkey is an unclean animal. And the Bible says, if a donkey needs to be redeemed, my goodness, you need to slaughter a lamb. But if you don't redeem it, break its neck. Many people try to work their lives out with broken neck donkeys. Their marriages with broken neck donkeys. Their finances, their business, their callings, their everything. But the Bible says this day, listen, let go of the donkeys, hallelujah. Because your father is no longer concerned about the donkeys. He's concerned about you, because you've got a journey. Come on, people. This whole journey of Saul was, he was at a tipping point. What is the tipping point experience? The tipping point is when somebody and something suddenly intervenes in your life and things change dramatically. Every situation changed and your journey changed. Somebody say, my journey is gonna change because I'm going higher. Hallelujah. Praise his wonderful name. Because the tipping point is a moment that you can pick up momentum to go into that level that God wants you to go. That's why we made a declaration this morning. I am better than this. Hallelujah. He who starts the good work in me is able to finish this good work. Can I get an amen from somebody this morning? It was a shoe company that could never make any business because nobody wants to buy the shoes. And a few schoolboys, poor schoolboys, went into the shoe store where they were selling these shoes. They bought the shoes and they went the new year to the school. And suddenly everybody in the school saw this new shoes and they felt at school. So they took their parents to the shoe store to buy them the shoes, and overnight, Bata shoes
became a well-known product. They moved from a zero to a multi-million dollar, my goodness, adventure in this journey. Because what happened? They were at a tipping point. And when you're at your tipping point, things can happen suddenly. Somebody say suddenly. Say suddenly. Say suddenly. Because you're at your tipping point. This church is at a tipping point. Why? Because God's going to take them higher. Come on, people. My goodness. And when you're at your tipping point, you're going to have a turnaround so that you can go higher and experience your breakthrough. Come on, somebody. Breakthrough praise, breakthrough prayer, breakthrough giving, and breakthrough evangelism. Hallelujah. He's going to give you the momentum of your tipping point this morning. Saul was at a tipping point. God had in mind for him to have a turnaround so that he can go higher, that he can have a breakthrough. Now, God is no respecter of a person. We are at our tipping point. Why? Because destiny is calling. Hell is more aware of your destiny than anything else. Come on, people. That's why the enemy never fights you where you are. He's fighting you where you're going. Help me, somebody. Because he knows destiny is calling. And we know when we go through some stuff, we want to give up and quit and let go. But family, listen. When you're at your tipping point, you will realize God's got a plan to get me in that other level I need to go. Because the mother eagle worked out the whole plan with her eaglets. When she built the nest, before she laid her egg, she went to slaughter a rabbit. Or what animal she can get hold of. She took the skin, the fur side up, laid out the nest with it, but what she built the nest was with thorns. As this little eaglet hatched and developed, and there comes a time that the mother eagle failed, this eaglet must get out of the nest. She starts stirring up the nest with her wings, and they move and they comfortable. But suddenly, with her strong beak, she pulls out the rabbit skin or skin that's underneath this eaglet. And then they feel this nest is no so comfortable anymore. Because if I move this side, there's a thorn. If I move this side, there's a thorn. And then she starts to, because they're moving to the edge now. And when they're at the edge, she creates the current, the wind, to get them out of the nest. And suddenly they tumble over the cliff. But she is there. She spreads her wings. Goes under them and catch them on her back. And then she flies in the heights. Come on. And then she turns around until they start spreading their own wings to experience, my goodness, I've got an ability and a potential in my life because it's my destiny. Somebody say destiny is calling. How do you know destiny is calling? That unrest that's tugging in the inside. That uneasiness that you are living with. And you know there's something bigger on the inside. There's something calling. Come on, people. God could have used angels, heavenly beings. But God's choice was human beings created by goodness with flesh. He's going to be my people to be history makers, planet shakers, and boundary shifters. And are you ready this morning to become a history maker, a planet shaker, and a boundary shifter? And the way it's going to happen, it's the journey to be anointed with fresh oil. What happened after the worship service? People were anointed with fresh oil. Come on, people. My goodness, when God appears on the scene, he turns over our apple cart because we've worked out the program, but God said, now is the moment, because there's two things important for God. It's the place and the time. Jacob went to the place. I have discovered in my short life that I cannot just worship where I want. I need to find God's place that's the place for me. And you here this morning because it's the place. Because it's at the place where Jacob took out a stone and he slept on that stone and he had that vision about the ladder and angels ascent and descent. And when he woke up and he anointed the stone with oil, he says, how terrible is this place? He says, none other than the house of God. What Jacob was saying, God was here and I did not notice that. Because the place is important for God. Somebody say, praise church is the place. And listen, family, he told the disciples, go to the upper room and wait there. The upper room, the place. And wait until the time. And on the day of Pentecost, the 50th, listen, there came a mighty, rushing, powerful tempest, blast, wind, hallelujah, came in so that lives will be changed and transformed. And that's why the journey to go into the place, to experience the time, to experience my tipping point so that I can have a turnaround in my life, that I can go higher so that I can have a breakthrough is the sign this morning. I've been anointed with oil. I need to go via Rachel's tomb to bury the dead bones because my name is about to change from Benoni, the son of sorrow, hallelujah, to Benjamin, the son of my right hand. Is there any right hand people in this house this morning? My goodness, God is changing situations in our lives. Help me, somebody. And he says, from there on, you will go to Bethel, the place, the place, the place, Beth House of God. You will go to the house of God, Bethel, your power source, your restoration center. Come on, the place of equipping, the place of changing. Come on, people. The birthing place for the gifts and the signs and the wonders and the miracles. You will go to Bethel, the house of God. So because there are three men waiting for you there. Thank you for asking what's their names. Number one, passion. Passion is waiting for you at Bethel. Because these three men carries vital, important things for your journey to experience your tipping point, to have your turnaround, that you can go higher and that you can live in your breakthrough. He says three men is going to meet you. Number one, passion. Passion is the most awesome ingredient on your life's journey. Because passion takes the effort out of the process. If you do something in the kingdom of God and you're not passionate about it, listen, family, it will be hard labor and hard work. I normally say it, if you are married to your wife and lovemaking is without passion, it's hard labor. Passion is the characteristic of our Lord and Savior. He went passionate to the cross of Calvary and he gave his life so that we might have life and have it in abundance. How do I know I'm passionate? Because I will have joy. I will not be on time, I will be early. If they say there's a prayer meeting, I'll be there. Come on, people. If they say let's give, I'm first. Because I am passionate about the things at Bethel, the house of God. Second man that will meet you is ministry. Everybody in this room, if you're born again, you are called for ministry. Now the moment in South Africa, when we say ministry, the people see the pulpit. No, this is 5%. Ministry is in every individual in this house. To change the atmosphere, because the disciples and the people people in the old covenant never serve God only to go to heaven. They serve God that heaven can come to earth. Let thy kingdom come, how as it is in heaven, let it manifest on earth. That's why Jesus made a statement. You will lay your hands on the sick. God will heal them. You will cast out demons. You will raise the dead. Come on, people. There's certain things involved in ministry that we need to activate that. And I'm here as an activator this morning. My goodness, to get you, because you are at your tipping point. Because that uneasy feeling is a sign. Destiny is calling you to a higher level in the kingdom. Why? Because as the heathen faith makes movement and investments, and the Muslims takes nations and property by force, God is expecting the descendants of Abraham to do greater than the children of Ishmael. Come on, somebody help me. Can I get an amen? So what is the key? The key is we are in God's Kairos moment. The Kairos moment is the moment when the heavens shift. The Kronos time is what we live every day. It's a frustrating time. You are standing at the cashier in a long line, and somebody holds up the whole line, and you know there's time against you because you need to be somewhere. That's the Kronos. We live it. It's on our watch. It's everywhere. But when the Kairos moment of God comes, that's the moment that God has decided. It's your moment. It's your moment. Somebody say, it's my moment. Hallelujah. Somebody say it again. Say, it's my moment. Say, my moment has arrived. Come on, somebody say, praise church. Your moment has arrived. While the worship was going on, God told me, Pastor Sonny, what you've seen in the last 2 years will not be a match what God's going to do in the next year, because 2011 is going to be the year of the open heaven. Come on, people. It's the year of momentum. It's the year of breakthrough. It's the year of the turnaround. It's the year to go in that supernatural dimension. How do I know it? I know it because there's not a horn filled with oil in this place. I sense it in the worship. There's my goodness. There's a vial poured out over this house. Hallelujah. So that oil can start flowing, because the end product of God is greater than what we see right now. That's why prophetic words is not just words. It's God walking into your future, taking the end product, pull it out of the future and bring it to you now by communication of words to change the picture here, to get your heart ready. My goodness, to go that in that breakthrough dimension. That's why whenever God speaks to you, it will be at a moment when you feel it cannot happen. God said, you're going to build a church. And when you look at the money in the bank and the budget, my goodness, those things never lined up. Because God is a God that will give you, the word is a rock. Somebody say a rock. And God will walk in your future, take the answer to your situation, your destiny, pull it out and bring it into the now, and put that word as a rock under your feet, that when the storm comes and when hell tries to come against you, and when the forces of darkness try to invade you, when problems tries to attack your promises, calamity wants to invade your destiny, my goodness, destruction wants to derail your assignment, you are standing then on a rock. Jesus called it a storm and a wind and floods, but I've got a rock this morning that I'm standing on. Hallelujah. My goodness, the wind can blow. I know the word is a rock. Hallelujah. Is there anybody sitting here with a promise? You've got the rock this morning, the word of God. Say yay, yay. Because ministry is calling. Everybody here, you've got the ministry of reconciliation. Heaven depends on us to win the lost for every cost. This whole journey is not about me. It's about His kingdom. That His kingdom can come. That I can be the channel. That His love, what is ministry? Just the love of God flowing through us to touch somebody else. help me, somebody. You've got the ministry of reconciliation because you are an ambassador. You are a king. You are a priest. You've got the ministry of prayer. Prayer is a ministry. Most people see here, and I think I preached the message here, prayer is a Leah factor. The ugly one. Nobody wants her. They want Rachel, the beautiful one. The problem is, Rachel is barren. Leah is fruitful. If you are in the ministry of prayer, there's fruitfulness. It's a birthing zone of the supernatural manifesting on the natural. Everybody's got prayer ministry. Our ministry was never built with millionaires. It was built with prayer. The millionaires came later, and then I prayed that God will remove them. Come on, people. But when prayer was involved, we see a shifting happening. A movement came. Something was birthed that the enemy cannot deny. You've got the ministry of reconciliation, ministry of prayer, and the ministry of the healer. Now, some of us are okay with the two first ministries, but if it comes to the third one, we say, not me. This is the key. Hell trembles at the thought of wealth in godly hands. Because what causes delays for your assignment? A lack of money. If you had the money, you would do it. Who's keeping it away from you? The enemy. And that's why it's a ministry. It's a ministry. Somebody say it's a ministry. Don't get Presbyterian on me right now. I'm so quiet. Somebody say amen. You see, these three men. Passion. Ministry. And the third one is action. We'll meet you at Bethel. Because it doesn't help us to hear the word. And don't do the word. Ladies and gentlemen, I had the most awesome breakthroughs and turnarounds in my life when I become a doer of what I heard. Oh, and sometimes you will hear God speak to you at times that you don't want Him to speak. There's times that you cry out and say, "Speak to me," and God is as quiet as can be. But there's that moment when God speaks to you because the Kairos time zone has come. Heaven shift above you. And God is ready to do the miraculous, the supernatural. Because in the whole mindset of God is higher. I depend on you. God never made you an ambassador just to be on the face of the earth. And just to die and have a good family record and everything. No, God called you on the face of the earth. This church made history. Come on, people. My goodness, when other churches were suffering, this church was progressing. When other churches were suffering, they bought property. Help me, somebody. What was that? That was the sign of the Kairos moment of God. That's why you're going to see in 2011, things happen in a greater pace than ever before. Because God is on track. God is under the time, my goodness, time zone of your life so that things can manifest. I'm here this morning to announce the devil will not succeed. Hell will not have his way. As long as we're on the face of the earth as the channels of God, containers of His glory, hallelujah. God will do what God wants to do through available vessels that came from Bethel. It says, because these three men will have things and they will give you provision. Somebody say, provision is coming. Provision is coming for my life, my business, my journey on the face of the earth. Because you're going to need the provision to complete your godly assignment. Help me, people. Help me. That's why your provision is in the house. Your destiny is in the house. The place of worship. I'm always very cautious. I've been serving God 41 years. If I missed a Sunday service, I can count it on 1.5 hand in 41 years. There may be seven times, seven Sundays that I haven't been in the service in 41 years. And in that reason was, I was on an airplane flying somewhere. I had my own church service in the airplane. But I've learned something, the valuable lesson. Because that's why the author of the book of Hebrews says, don't neglect the gathering, the assembling of the saints. He did not say it just to keep us busy on Sundays. He said it because there's provision in the house. There's something that needs to be unlocked in the house. My goodness, don't stay away when you're sick and depressed and oppressed and compressed and all kinds of pressures. Because one word that God can speak from this pulpit can transform your whole life, hallelujah, into a higher level. Somebody say, I'm at my tipping point, hallelujah. I'm going to have a turnaround because I'm going higher. Come on, people. I'm going to have a breakthrough. Are you ready for breakthrough this morning? He says, because they're going to give you bread. And then you will go to the heights where the garrison of the Philistines is, the place of God. You see, for long enough, the enemy told you that he has created a high place that you cannot enter in. Tell somebody, something is coming. And I'm telling you, it's better than being constipated. There's going to be a flow of something supernatural because you are going higher in a greater dimension. Come on, people. He says you will go up where the Philistines are. He says, because you're going to hook up there with a group of prophets. You see, for long enough, the enemy tries to tell you, you don't have it in you. Come on, people. For long enough, the enemy is attacking your confidence and your self-esteem. But the instruction from Samuel was, after the oil was poured out and after he went by a racial stoom and he named the place of Benjamin and he hooked up with the two people, and then by goodness the news came, let go of the donkeys, go to Bethel, the house of God, where the three men will meet you. At that time Saul realized, I had a tipping point. Oil came over me. I'm in my turnaround season because I'm going higher and my breakthrough is coming. What does that mean? He says, my goodness, you gonna demonstrate to Satan that you are a person of authority. Somebody say, I've got authority. I've got dominion. I've got jurisdiction. The devil cannot do what he wants to do. You've got authority over the devil. Hallelujah. Is there anybody with authority over the kingdom of darkness? If you are here, say yes. Oh yes. Because you will demonstrate Satan's defeat. The Bible says resist him, not assist him. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't assist him by saying, oh, this condition is, God is just punishing me. And it's the will of God, this cancer. No, 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 no. My God doesn't make sick, he's a healer. If he makes sick and healed, then his kingdom is divided. He is a healer. He heals sick bodies. He heals, my goodness. Reverend Frank prayed for a man in the hospice. The man was busy dying. He had full-blown HIV/AIDS. He led him to the Lord. John is today back in work. A few years ago that happened. Like that, God healed him and touched him. Supernaturally, life was restored because there's power inside of you to change the atmosphere. Every place you trample on, God will give it in your hands. The reason that your boss is blessed is not because he's a good businessman. It's because of you. God bless Egypt. Because of Joseph. Say, devil, it's too late. Say, it's too late. I'm at my tipping point. I'm going to have my. Hallelujah. Do you believe it this morning? If you believe it, give a shout. Say, amen. 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 He says you will meet a company of prophets and they will come down with all the musical instruments. That's a message on its own. He says, then, somebody say then, the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you mightily. Somebody say mightily. The day on Pentecost it was. It was mightily. And when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, you will do things you've never done before. Come on, people. Because he's going to come mightily upon you. Then you will start prophesying. For years we've been prophesying about our destiny. I cannot. It's impossible. I don't have the means. It can never done. My staff knows never to tell me impossible. We do 15 services on a Sunday from the 1st of January. I'll do 16. I'm taking over another church and a pastor. And we're going to do 16 morning services and day services. And years ago when I shared with people what we're doing, they said, impossible, it cannot happen. You are looking at a man. The only thing it's impossible for God is impossible for him to lie. He cannot lie. He said it. And it's going to manifest in your life. Why? Because you are at your, how do I know you're at your? It's the Kairos moment of God, that very moment ordained by God. Listen, family, ordained by heaven, that God said, now is your time. And I want you to acknowledge that time, know the time, and move in that time, my goodness, so that you can shift the boundaries. Because the enemy wants to keep you in a birdcage. He doesn't care if you jump from the side to the side. And then when you get a more revelation, he just expands the birdcage. And he lets you just flap your wings two or three times. And most people are there. While the plan of God is out of the birdcage. Come out of the birdcage. I want you free. No longer, my goodness, imprisoned in a prison without bars. Because, and how is it? It happens here. So somebody say there's a shifting happening because I'm a boundary shifter. I'm shifting the boundaries in my mind. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me, because greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. With God on your side, you are a majority. Can I get an amen? Amen? And then Saul start prophesying. And the end result was, he was changed into another man. I don't know about you. I need change. Pastor Sonny said it, more of Jesus. Pastor David next to me said, I hope there's less of Ted. We all say more of Jesus and less of me. Because you will be changed into another man. The vehicles God wants to use sits in this body to change a community, a family, the business world, the church world. And a nation. Come on, people. God takes ordinary people to do the most impeccable things in life. And when you're at your, somebody say, I'm at my, I'm going to have a turnaround and I'm going higher so that I will have a breakthrough. And I'm going to give you the four keys to going higher. Number one. The first key to go higher, what Saul experienced, he had to do something he'd never done before. Do something you've never done before. Come on, people. 12 disciples in a boat. Storm is against them. And they try to make it. And here Jesus is walking. They were so consumed with the storm, they did not recognize the tipping point there. Turn around to go higher, to have a... What happened is, Jesus came and they said, it's a ghost. And Jesus detects the very thing that still operates today
in our lives. It walks like a shadow next to you for a moment to jump on you, namely fear. Ladies and gentlemen, fear is the very thing that keep people away from getting out of the boat. Acknowledge their tipping point, that they can have a turnaround and to go higher so that breakthrough can come. Your whole journey is a journey of preparation to impact some life on this journey. Your whole life. If God's ultimate plan was save you and take you to heaven, I would be the first channel that God can use in the baptismal pond to help him to get rid of some ghosts. If they need to go to heaven. There's some people that came out of the baptismal point. Man, I think the devil is taking lessons from them. Help me, somebody. God never intended for us only to make heaven. He had in mind that you will be Christ-like on the face of the earth. Heal the sick, cast out demons, raise the dead, we've said, and change destiny and history of people. So here they detect fear. And Jesus immediately discerns the very thing that's going to keep them away from acknowledge the tipping point to have a turnaround and to go higher. Why? Because this disciples was captured in the natural, in a boat, in a storm. They could not see even surviving the storm. That's why the anxiety and the fear. And Jesus said, they shout, it's a ghost. He said, fear not, it is I. And when he said that, Peter, he had foot and mouth disease. Because he always was very outspoken. Lord, if it's you, listen, Lord, he knows it's the Lord. Lord, if it's you, command ye me to come. And Jesus had one word in the midst of his storm. Because Peter was at his, God had in mind on the day of Pentecost, the same man that sat in that boat will do something that will change the direction of lives. He says, Lord, if it's you, command me to come. And the next moment, Jesus created the opportunity for Peter to hit the bullseye. Now, what I'm doing this morning, I'm compacting some series of messages just to get the thing through. In the old times, the archers, when they do the championships, they had a pipe. They call it the opportune. That's where the word opportunity comes from. And for that archers to be the champion, they need to hit through the opportune, the pipe, to hit the bullseye. If they miss the pipe, the opportune, they are immediately disqualified, and they need to wait for the circle to go around, the cycle, to the next championship. The same in our lives. Pastor preach, and he creates a opportune. Why does he preach that word? Does God just keep him busy because God doesn't know what to do with him on a Sunday? No. He's here as a mouthpiece to create the opportune, that when you become the arrow in God's bow, that you can go through the opportune and hit the bullseye for your life. Come on, people. So Jesus created the opportune by one word, come. And now Peter stood on the brink to become the arrow, to hit the target. But the thing that he was confronted with is what we are confronting with every day. Fear. And fear brings us to the place between choice. No decisions, you will be stuck in your comfort zone. Come on, people. And nothing happens. Peter faced risk or comfort. 12 heard, come.
Only one took the risk. The other 11 choose the comfort. The problem was, only one got the testimony that we are reading thousands of years later. One man saw the opportune. Did he have the means? No. What he had? Only a word from God that created faith. And the next moment he got out of the boat. And he saw the pipe, the opportune. And he started water walking. And the water became solid. Somebody say solid. Under his feet. So for you to go into that higher level, do something you've never done before. I've told maybe the story here. You know, at that age that I tell one story 7 times. And I think it's always the first time. Is there anybody that can bail me out with things like that? Now Yaku, when I said, whenever I tell you a story a second time, now he waits until time number 7. He says, and that happened in that. I said, how do you know? He said, you told me the story already 7 times. So I'm telling you the story because faith cometh by hearing. We are feeding 165,000 people a month. What happened is, and we've built a rehab center and a baby house and everything. You'll see it later on. But what happened is our ministry faced a challenge. And I was sitting in that conference in our church. And a visiting couple jumped up, ran to me, put a 7 Series BMW key in my hand. And then that voice came that I don't want to hear that moment. This is not your car. It belongs to somebody else. You just the channel to channel it through. Before God know, I'm going to get comfortable because it's a different story. I was facing a challenge, the ministry, minding my own business after this miracle. And I heard that same word. Break the cycle. Sow your airplane ticket money. I was so angry. I said, devil, not today. You're not going to harass me in this service. God just did a miracle that I've got keys in my hand and you're not going to harass me right now with me doing something. What was God doing? So that I can go higher to have my breakthrough. And breakthrough only comes through breakthrough praise, breakthrough prayer, breakthrough giving, and breakthrough evangelism. And he said, call your family. I call him from the platform and everywhere. And I said, the Lord said, we need to break this cycle because we are in a need. And God told me to do something I've never done before because I've never sown 10,000 grand. And Tasha, with a big eye, she said, what about your plane ticket money? I said, I don't care. It's now his problem, no longer mine. We let go. 2 days later, I received a phone call out of the Muslim territory. I was praying, Pastor, and the Lord said, you need a few pennies. Can you meet me in a coffee shop? So I met with her, this lady. She pulled out the A3 envelope, turned it over, and 50,000 grand in 100 bills came out. They nearly had to call 911, 922, 933, and 944 because I nearly fainted there. I've never seen that before in my life. You see, sometimes God wants to work the miracle and we don't believe it when we see it. And so a day and a half, because the need was 80,000, here's 50,000. Day and a half later, I received another phone call. And the same woman out of the Muslim area, she said, I was praying again and God spoke to me, you need some more pennies. Can you meet me? So I hook up with her again. And the next thing that happened, she pulled out the brown envelope again, turn it over, and 30,000 grand came out. The miracle was, when I walked away from that woman, I heard that same voice. If you did not obey me, you would not receive the miracle. What was God doing with Peter, with Gustav, with the next people? Do something you've never done before so that you can start water walking. The next thing to take you higher, never fear failure. I did that Sunday with the ticket. The Monday, the devil said, nothing is going to happen. I felt like going back to the church and say, can you give me back my money?
because the enemy told me this is a mistake. But God never makes mistakes. Everybody said, yes, but Peter came out of the boat. He did something he never done before, but he sank. Read that scripture again. Jesus said, O thou of little faith, take him by the hand. How did you think Peter got back in the boat? Did Jesus got him in a Nelson grip and swim with him? No. He picked him up and Peter walked back on the water into the boat. Never fail, fear failure. Because if you're going to operate in that dimension, you've got a business that you want to start, you want to do something, go to Misha, whatever. Never let the enemy operate by fear. Number three, don't give in under pressure. When you have done what God said you must do, don't give in. The enemy will try to make the fire more heated up. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they prayed to the side of Jerusalem. The people said, man, we need to issue a law that if they pray that we can get rid of them. And the king issued the law. If you don't pray when you hear the sound of the music before the statue, you will be thrown in the fiery furnace. They arrested him because they did not give in under pressure. They told the king. He gave them a choice. They said, no, king. We're not going to bow. If we die, that's okay. But if we come out, we know our God is able. But we're not going to give in under pressure, under your command. Don't give in under pressure, under the devil. The king got so angry, he said, heat up the oven 7 times more. The people that throw them in burn to death. But Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego walk like pigs in Mecca, as free as can be. Okay, some of you did not catch that. They were halal. And so what happened is the king brought, he said, did we not put 3 people in? How's it possible that 4's walking around? Bring them out. Never give in under pressure. Come on, people. The enemy, the reason pressure come, the enemy wants to derail your assignment. What you're going through is temporary. Don't make a permanent choice for a temporary condition. And number four, don't resist change. I've got a cassette recorder message that I preached in 1970 something. And one day I was going through this box and I saw this cassette and I put it in the cassette player. And I listened 2 minutes and I quickly pressed the button, get the thing. Get it in a bag, put mothballs in and hide it away that nobody will get it. Because I said, dear Lord, is it me? That cannot be. I have changed and I still need to change. Help me, somebody. Never resist change. God spoke to Moses. He was leading the Hebrew children. They came in a time of thirst. My goodness. God said, Moses, what do you have in your hand? He said, a staff. He said, eat the rock and water gushed up. Time went by, came to the same scenario. And they are thirsty. God said, Moses, don't hit the rock, speak to the rock. He got so angry, he hit the rock. God still performed the miracle, but the problem was, Moses never see the promises fulfilled. Now, because you did not obey my word, you cannot go into the promised land. Help me, somebody. I want to help you because you are at your tipping point to have a turnaround, to go higher, that you will have your breakthrough. I'm telling you these things not to miss what God wants to do in your family life, your personal life, your marriage life, your business life. Come on, in your church life, people. It's because you are at that tipping point. How do I know the tipping point? The unrest. My goodness, this irritation on the inside. There's more in life than what I'm busy with. My goodness, that's the sign. Destiny is there. And God is positioning you for 2011. The world may have a disaster, but God's people going to have 2011, the year of the open heaven, and they're going to pick up momentum. Never, never, never neglect the thing that brought you momentum. Never let go of it. If you did something and momentum came, do it more and more and more and more, because you are going to a higher dimension of what you are busy with right now. And I'm finished now with this. Your tipping point is the season
that everything and anything can change like that. I prophesied to a man that was bankrupt on a Sunday night. The bank's going to take everything away. I prophesied to him. I said, within the next 12 hours, God's going to turn your situation around. The guy's name is Peter Mitchell. He stopped me. I was on the way to church. He stopped me. He said, Pastor, if you don't give me money for gas, I'm going to be stuck against this road, and then you need to bring me gas. I said, let's get some gas for you. He didn't even have money for gas. The very next day, him and his wife, disappointed. The only thing they had was a word to hold on within 12 hours. What happened with Peter? They were at their tipping point. God was ready to give them a turnaround that they can go higher and have a breakthrough. They walked into a store the next day doing window shopping. Most people in South Africa got flat noses, or this type of noses like Babe. And the reason is window shopping. Your nose is against them. They don't have money. They do window shopping. Oh. So what happened is they walked in this business, an elderly gentleman. They don't know him from a bar of soap. He said, are you the people that comes in to buy my business today? Peter said, Uncle, we don't even have a penny on our name. How will we buy? He said, I prayed. He said, I'm a child of God. I was asking God to send somebody in to take over this furniture business. My children doesn't want it. And I told the Lord, tonight at 5 o'clock, I'm closing this business. Somebody needs to come. Peter said, Uncle, tell me. And the gentleman told him some stories. Peter said, sir, it must be me. He said, but I don't have a penny to pay you. The gentleman said, I did not ask you for money. I said, I'm asking you to take over my business. You can pay me later. They took 5 o'clock. They got the keys. The next day, they start the business. And the first month, they had 100,000 turnover. They walked from that to higher. The next business came. The third business came. Peter and Marita Mitchell was rescued overnight. What was the key? That night in the service, Peter did something he never done before. He took everything and he let go. Because he needed a financial miracle. He got out of the boat. Did not need to give in with fear or give in under pressure, not resist change. Because God was changing things. And now when he changes from one glory to another glory, to a higher glory. This morning, I want to challenge you. It's your season, church. Your season as a family. Because your prodigals are coming home. Miracles is on the way. Promotion is coming. God will take you to nations that you've never been before. Provision is coming. No more lack. Because you are at your tipping point. It's your turnaround. I'm ready for a turnaround. South Africa is ready for a turnaround. 5,670 people dies daily only of AIDS in my country. That's not murders, accidents, heart attacks. Any. You can imagine. As I speak, every 3 minutes, a child will die. Malnutrition. As I speak, a baby will be raped. Because the tribal people believe if you can rape a baby, you'll be cured of your AIDS. This morning, I'm challenging this church to a higher level. Every family, every individual. It's your Kairos moment. Breakthrough prayer. Breakthrough praise. Breakthrough giving. Breakthrough evangelism. It's going to take this church in a level you've never been before. And if you're that person this morning to say, it's me, I'm ready. Will you stand with me please right now? Father, we worship you right now. We honor you. Holy Spirit, thank you, Pastor David. Can we join hands all over this place? And before I pray this prayer, ask your neighbor on both sides, are you born again? They ask, what does this mean? Say,
Are you going to heaven when you die? Is your name written in the book of life? If they say, I'm not sure, I don't know, say this is your morning. That you're going to be born again. Because if you're born once, you're going to die twice. But if you're born twice, you're only going to die once, physically, and then live forever. Ask your neighbor. Everybody born again? I want to pray this prayer. Before I pray, there's a young man with a tie there. Green shirt and a tie. The hand of the Lord is upon you. Are you married, sir? No. No. He said, no. No. Okay. I was just, if somebody was maybe next to you. The hand of the Lord is upon you, son. This is your turnaround season. That God wants to take you higher. There's a divine plan. There's gifts and talents that needs to be unlocked on the inside of you. Because God wants to use you mightily. On the face of the earth. Are you part of this church? Are you just visiting? Trying to figure out where you fit in? Yes, that's what I see. This is your season, son. Don't let hurt and disappointments keep you away from God's divine moment now for your life. It's going to happen. It's your season. Father, we are standing in your presence. How honored am I? Just to be Jesus' donkey in the service this morning. To unlock in people's lives and to deliver the message of the turnaround season. People are at their tipping points. They are ready. No more delays. No more fear. No more anxiety. No more doubt. We believe you for the miraculous and the supernatural. And we step out of the boat this morning. And we are ready. We are ready. We are ready to do. My goodness, things that we've never done before to go in a greater dimension for God. We want to say to this morning, if you want to use anything, will you use us, please, Lord? We don't give in for fear. We don't going to give in under pressure. Quitting is not an option, and we're not going to resist change. Change us from glory to a higher glory to another glory. And we say thank you right now that we are doers of the word in Jesus' name. Everybody say, amen. Give your neighbor a high five. Say, neighbor, I'm going higher and I'm not going to leave you behind. I'm going higher. I'm going higher. I'm going higher. I'm going higher. Can I have 1 minute to pray for somebody? Then I'm handing to Pastor. I just want to pray with this gentleman. Can I pray with you, sir? What's your name? Brother Mark. Father, I thank you for this awesome man. I thank you for the anointing, sir, what the enemy has stolen from you. This is the season that things need to be restored back in a greater measure. Oh, Jesus, there's things that God's going to restore and it's going to happen quick, very quick, very quick. I hear the word of the Lord. Son, it's going to happen very quick. Because it was at that point that you felt that you're going to give in and let go. The Lord said that I hold on to you. And that's why you were encouraged to go further. The enemy did an attack on your body and on your health. But the Lord said, I have, my goodness, turned the thing into a blessing because you are blessed. My son, you are blessed. And I'm taking you to a higher level, a dimension you've never been in. From this day on, you're going to walk in that favor level. Oh, Jesus, doors will open. Supernatural things will happen. Because this is your season to complete that godly assignment I've put upon you, saith the Lord. The Lord said, don't be concerned about the donkeys. Not that your family is donkeys and people around you, but sometimes the enemy keeps us busy with donkey thoughts. God said, son, I've called you to be on a higher level. I'm going to take care of every issue. I'm going to take care of every situation, and I'm bringing the greater glory into your family and into your life, saith the Lord. Thank you, Father God. I worship you right now. Touch this man. From the top of his head till the soles of his feet. I speak healing over every organ in this body in Jesus' name. Amen. Your season, sir. Your season. Your season. Your season. The family there, the father and mother's got glasses. Are you ready? 2011 is going to be a greater year, saith the Lord. The Lord said, position yourself. God said, I'm going to give you new ideas, son. And that ideas will be from the throne room. It will happen like this, that you will know. Because I'm taking you on another level, saith God. Another level of business. Another level of great things that's going to happen. In Jesus' name. No time to retire. It's time for a refiring in the greatness of God, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Brother Francis Bonita, I'm excited what God's going to do this year. The preparation time, but it's coming to an end. Because next year you will be like an eagle. Soar up in the heights, then here, then there, then in the next place. And the Lord said, I'm raising you up to release that fire, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't God good, beautiful? What's your name, pretty? Ida. Father, I thank you for Ida right now. I release the anointing upon her. I speak life over her condition in the name of Jesus. Ida, God said you're going to be victorious in this battle. You're the champion. You're the champion. You're the champion. The enemy tried to tell you this is a losing battle, but the Lord said, no, daughter, you are a daughter of destiny, and I'm breaking through for you, saith the Lord, and you're going to break in higher heights in Jesus' name. Pastor Sonny, thank you. Thank you. I can pray with people afterwards.
Praise the Lord. I'd like to pause here just for just a second as the musicians kind of get ready. And guys, I don't know if y'all were catching everything Brother Gustav said, but every point we made out before he came and preached, I haven't talked with him since he went to Africa and came back. We hadn't talked in some time. And, you know, I just want to talk to Praise Church and the families that are here visiting too. I've known that Praise Church has been in sort of a plateau area. You know, we came up quite quick. We've been on a plateau. We're getting ready to come up another rung. But we have been in a place where most churches that run about 200 people, they get. You know, that most of them will sit there and they will either go into a dive or they will come on up in terms of not just attendance, but just anointing and everything else. And I've sensed that this has been sort of as Brother Gustav mentioned, a breakthrough turnaround point. And I think he did a really good job of defining the sensations that have been in the group. Now, he doesn't know. He hadn't talked to anybody here. He hadn't been in the church. He doesn't know anything. But yet, by the Spirit, he sensed that the church is getting ready for a higher leg up. And it places us anytime you do a leg up, it's a vulnerable position. And, you know, so he spoke on the faith side of it. But let me go ahead and speak on the pastoral side of it. You need to be careful during this time. You need to really watch what you say. Need to watch your mouth, okay? I really want to say that. And I'm saying that in love, but I'm saying that you can either bless this church, your families, your destiny with life out of your mouth, or you can kill it right here with your tongue. See? I mean, before, when there's so much momentum, it really doesn't matter what you say because God's just busting through. But when you're in a place where there's a seesaw going on and you're getting ready to, and there's a little teeter-tottering going on, you have to really secure yourself and don't allow the enemy to put thoughts in your mind and you to speak those words, because he's a master at planning things. And for those of you that are visiting, let me say this for the church that you're attending or whatever you're at in your life. You can make this thing that Brother Gustav talked about today with your mouth and life, or you can kill it with death with your tongue. How many of you say, Pastor, I'm going to give life to it? And I really sense that this, you know, we could go ahead and pray and prophesy and get everybody way up in the Holy Ghost, but you know what? That don't mean nothing if we destroy it with our own words, because this is where great churches are made or broken here, is with the people and our position. I'd rather be like Peter and step out and take a chance than just stay in the boat and trying to stay dry, because let me tell you what, it's better out in the water with Jesus than in the boat with the storm. Can you say amen? Now, the other thing I want you to hear, that before Brother Gustav preached, he covered a number of different things that we covered just before saying that. And I had no idea that was coming. And the other thing I want to confirm to all of you is that, sure, you can hear the word of the Lord in your house, But I'm telling you, there, as Brother Gustav mentioned, there's a corporate anointing, and there is a word that God will release in the house of worship that you may not get in your own when you're sitting there watching 700 Club, okay? You know, and for those of you that you're camping out in front of the TV and that's your church, I mean, that's cool, but that could be a dangerous place for destiny, because God has a further place he wants to bring you than where you're at. And just by the fact I'm demonstrating that God gave me a lot of what Brother Gustav said, I had no idea what he was going to preach, and I just started nailing things, almost preached his message, not as colorful as he could have done it, but he came right in and preached the message, put the word of God with it, brought the point home. It's anchored. And I want to tell you that we need to go ahead and act on it. We need to kick this thing in gear. I want to ask everyone here, if you're just visiting too, please fast and pray with us this week. He said breakthrough comes through worship. It comes through prayer. Comes through obedience. Listen, we need to pray this week. Everybody say pray and fast. Let's kick the devil in the head this week. Again, we prayed and fast the other week. We saw breakthrough. We're seeing breakthrough here. Tuesday's always a great day. It gives you money to recoup. Plan on fasting and praying Tuesday. Let's get a breakthrough. Amen. Lift your hands up to the Lord right now. Let's just ask for just grace. Father, Lord, we are not perfect people, but Lord, we serve a perfect God. And Lord, that Jesus that lives inside of us as we're changed from glory to glory, Lord, you're wanting to have your way in every person here. And Lord, as there's been an apostolic release, Lord God, and permission to go on up and a breakthrough into the heavenlies so that we can be more like Jesus, we can see more of the works of Jesus, Lord, we're asking, Father, right now that there would be a prophetic release in every life here that heard that word. Father, let the word that was spoken today be anchored in this church. And God, let it not be as a seed destroyed by the enemy, plucked up and taken away. Let it not fall upon stony ground. Let it not fall upon thorns, Lord God, but let it fall upon good ground in the name of Jesus. Everybody say, I am good ground. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, speaking of good ground, I'm going to ask one more thing before we're dismissed. I want to ask that we sow into some good ground. Amen. I can't think of a better place to sow seed today. And I want to ask if we just get the ushers to come on up. We want to take an offering for our brother. He oversees just hundreds of churches in Africa. He oversees hospices, hospitals, places where they're feeding, schooling children. I mean, if you want to turn loose of something that's in your hand today, I want to encourage you to do it. Brother Gustav. Can we go ahead and play the video? Go ahead and do that. And we're going to go ahead as it plays. I want you just to begin to make your... We're going to begin... just hang on for 1 second. Have we got that ready to go? Amen. Isn't that great to be a part of something like that? I want to thank you for your giving. You know, it's I'll be probably going to South Africa and Zimbabwe here in the near future, and we will open up those trips, you know, for any of you that are interested in going. I'll be working that out with Brother Gustav. But, guys, I want to tell you that you're blessed. Amen? And, you know, to know that you're feeding the poor and you're helping this ministry and the many that we support. The Bible says that in the day of sickness, you can call out to the Lord because you remember the poor. It's a license. Hallelujah. Well, let's stand to our feet, and we're going to dismiss you. And I want to thank all of you just for staying to the end and just to view that. Why don't we just close by praying for South Africa? And let's pray for Brother Gustav's great country that he serves. And I believe that God will bless us as we've given. And then we're going to close with this song, Oh Happy Day. Father, thank you for this wonderful day. I pray that you'd bless every person here. Lord, I'm praying that there would be a sound of victory in their homes. And Lord, we're praying, God, for the release of breakthrough. Can everybody say breakthrough? And again, Jesus, we thank you for all that you did. We love you. Let's pray this. Say, Jesus, be merciful to me, a sinner. I am sorry for every sin against you. I repent of every sin and for grieving you, Holy Spirit. And I ask you, Lord, to come and live inside of my heart and wash away my sins, cleanse me from evil. And God, I receive you as the Lord and Savior of my life. I give my life to you. Everything, my mind, my dreams, and my hopes, I surrender to you, Jesus. And I ask you to create a new future for me, where I will live with you forever, walk with you on streets of gold, and live in your presence forever and ever. And I believe that God raised you from the dead, Jesus. And that last day, and even this very day, that you raised me from the dead, that you heal me, that you seat me in heavenly places, that you give me a new mind, and I am your child. I am born again. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Let's give God a big hand praise of clap. God bless you and have a great week in the Lord.